You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Turn in your Bibles to John 15 and grab your listening guide also so you can look at your message notes there as well. I got some updates for you of last week. We took a journey last week in looking at this thing of abiding in Christ. I want to give you a thought. Imagine if you were to go home to your house today and you were to decide you were going to rearrange your living room. That's what you were going to do. Ladies, your husband said, no, we're not buying a new couch. So you've got to rearrange your living room so that you can make it look a little bit different to kind of help that need in you for change. So you begin to rearrange your living room and you push the sofa just over to move it in a different place. But as you push the sofa, you pull the end table and then the lamp falls off and smashes. You step back and you go, wait a minute, all I did was push the sofa. How did the lamp smash on the ground? So then you keep going along and you decide, well, I know what I'll do. I'll change the dining room around. So you move the dining room table. And when you move the dining room table, all of a sudden it pulls the bed in your bedroom and it goes cockeyed. And you begin to look and you look a little bit more keenly at things and you realize that in between each piece of furniture, there's a rope. And with everything you push, there's a rope that pulls on something else. And then that other rope pulls on something else. And so by moving the sofa, you actually move the end table that smashes the lamp, that changes the bed in the other room, that moves the dining room table. Everything is interconnected. And what you end up with is you learn a word that is called unintended consequences. You didn't mean to push the sofa and break the lamp. It was an unintended consequence. See, that you need to know that because that's going to happen this Thanksgiving or this Christmas. You're going to have a whole lot of food that somebody cooked in your family. Everybody's going to bring some. And all you're going to do is walk up and say, I don't really like broccoli. And you're going to then have your aunt say, I don't really like you. Because she made the broccoli. And all you did was say you didn't like broccoli. You hadn't liked broccoli for years. You've always loved your aunt. But by pushing away the broccoli, there was a rope connected to the aunt that then pulled the aunt in to say, well, I don't like you either. And here it goes. And broccoli somehow was attached to Aunt Thelma's heart. And you've got the pull there. It's unintended consequences. It can happen in business. We can make a decision to do one thing and we end up with another thing. We can do it in purchasing things. We can buy something and then not realize that the maintenance was going to cost that much. There's all these ropes that are interconnected with unintended consequences. And what we saw last week, our big thing of last week, is that there is an unintended consequence of not abiding in Jesus Christ. That if we do not abide in Jesus Christ, according to John 15, verse 5, it says, if you do not abide in me, you will accomplish nothing. So if we do not abide in Jesus, we accomplish nothing. Now, does anybody intend on accomplishing nothing for their family? Does anybody intend on accomplishing nothing for their workplace? Does anybody intend on accomplishing nothing for their friendships? Of course not. We want to intend to accomplish great things. But when we do not abide in Jesus, we absolutely end up we end up not accomplishing a thing. See, to accomplish things of the soul, to accomplish things of the heart, to truly rear your children in the ways of the Lord, you've got to abide in the Lord. It's an unintended consequence that we wouldn't abide and then we wouldn't accomplish. See, mom is a great mom when she's abided. Dad is a better dad when he's abided. The employee, the employer, is a better employee-employer when they have abided. I gave you some recaps there in your listening guide, but I want to have us repeat one of them together. And it is this. We'll put it on the screens. Abide deeply to achieve greatly. Let's say that together. Abide deeply to achieve greatly. One more time. Abide deeply to achieve greatly. But what happens is we don't abide, so we don't really achieve great things. And we end up with unintended consequences. It can happen like this. We want our kids to be involved in things, and so we get them involved in things. And pretty soon, an unintended consequence is we never eat dinner together as a family. They're involved in everything. But they grow up and they never sat at the dinner table on a regular basis with their family. I submit to you that their involvements are below the importance of sitting together as a family. But we have an unintended consequence. But when we abide in Christ, we get to be at the table with the Lord. When we abide in Christ, God gives us wisdom to make these decisions. When we abide in Christ, we say, wait a minute, we're going to get this, but we're going to lose that. Let's not do this. So are we going to be people, here's the question, that live by unintended consequences or by intended consequences? Which will they be? It's a choice. Let me show you a picture, a funny picture of unintended consequences using a llama. I don't know what a llama is, but that's a llama. And you can laugh at that. Poofy, right? I mean, that would be my veterinary opinion. But if you give it a haircut, that's the unintended consequence of getting too short of a haircut, right? Things don't look quite like what you intended. Now, we've all been to the barbershop and had that happen. That gives us an unintended consequence. Let's look, though, in John chapter 15, and let's see an intended consequence of abiding in Christ. Jesus is going to give us, in this passage of Scripture, some intended consequences of abiding in Christ. If you abide in Christ, these things will happen to you. These things will happen in your life. Look in verse 7. Whenever we get to remain, I'm going to use the word abide. Same Greek word, just different translation. Abide's a little bit richer. Verse 7, chapter 15. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Dangerous phrase, isn't it, to humans? This is to my Father's glory, that you bear, underline these two words in your Bible, much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Lord has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love, and if you obey my commands, you will abide in my love, and if you obey my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and abide in his love. Verse 11, last verse. I have told you this so that my joy, all goes to joy, may be in you, that your joy may be complete. The first intended consequence that happens in our life from abiding in Jesus, we defined abiding as being restfully resident, desperately dependent upon Jesus. So we're resting in Jesus like an abode. We're abiding, we're sitting, we're resting, we're dependent upon him. And the results of that, he's going to give us. The first intended consequence of abiding in Jesus is this. Abiding prayers are intimate and answered. Intimate and answered. If we are people that are abiding in Jesus Christ, our prayer life is going to be different. See, abiding is where we're resting in him. We're depending upon him. Here's an old, old prayer. It's about 1,500 years old. Some people say that St. Patrick wrote this in the 5th century. Other scholars say, no, it wasn't the 5th century St. Patrick. It was the 8th century, and it was somebody else. But you and I can say this. It's old, okay? That's all we need to know. It's an old prayer, and they call it St. Patrick's Breastplate. St. Patrick's Breastplate. It's also a hymn. But listen to just a piece of it. See if you hear abiding in this. Here's part of it. Christ be with me, Christ in the front, Christ in the rear, Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, Christ at my right hand, Christ at my left hand, Christ in the fort, Christ in the chariot seat, Christ at the helm. Does that sound like an abiding prayer? God above me, if I go to the heavens, you're there. God below me, Christ below me, if I go to the depths, you're there. To my left, to my right, in the chariot seat, in the seat of the helm, in the seat of the fort, all of these places. He's saying, Christ, envelop me. I want to abide in you. See, abiding Christians have a different kind of prayer life. It changes your prayer life. It refines your prayer life. Your prayer life is no longer about your comfort. Your prayer life is about his kingdom. So he can say to you, ask whatever you wish, and I will do it for you. Why? Because now it's in connection with his kingdom. It's not in just connection with our comfort. But when our prayer life is all about our comfort, dear Lord, get me out of this. Dear Lord, put me into that. Then what happens is we begin to only see through our vision and our view instead of seeing through the vision and the view of God. Prayer is not about our comfort only. It is about his kingdom. And when we abide in Jesus Christ, then we realize there's something higher than our comfort. And follow me. Our discomfort will actually be to the advantage of God. The more uncomfortable I am, the more I have to trust in him. The more uncomfortable I am, the more I need God. So it changes from our comfort to his kingdom. The second thing it gets refined in is this. Our prayer life begins to move from being about needs to being about relationship. Our prayer life moves from being about our needs to being about our relationship with God. Now, anytime we talk about prayer, every single one of us needs to pray more fervently, pray more about different things. So all of us, let's just take that and let's just put it on the shelf right now. You're sitting there thinking, you know what, everybody around me, they pray all the time. Everybody around you does not pray all the time either, okay? We all can grow, me included, in the amount of time and the amount of focus we give to prayer. So let's just take that, and let's put that guilt on the shelf for just a second, and let's learn about how God shapes us. If we abide, we will pray more. He wants to move us from our prayers being centered on our needs to our prayers being centered on our relationship with him. Now, I like to do this in restaurants. I ask the waiter or the waitress. I say, I'm a Christian. When the food comes, I say, I'm a Christian. I don't say I'm a pastor because that scares them. I say, I'm a Christian. And we're about to say the blessing over the food. Is there anything we can pray for you about? Now, if you do that, you also need to tip at least 20% or above, okay? So don't be pulling Jesus and Ebenezer Scrooge into the same deal, okay? And they're like, those Christians are cheapskates, you know? So just, if you don't tip well, pray for them when you pray for the food, whatever. You know, act like you're a different religion maybe. I don't know, something, but just kidding. But make sure you're tipping and your Christianity, you know, it's a good witness. Here's what often they will say. I'm kind of shocked a little bit. They think about it, and then they'll go, no, I'm good. I don't need any prayer. Now, what does that say? We could do the same thing. It says, everything's going fine. I do not need God until everything is not going fine. That's what it says, doesn't it? I mean, really, if you trace that together, what can I pray for you about? Everything's cool. Don't worry about praying for me. Everything's fine. Don't need God unless something's not going well. And then my prayer will be, Lord, make things go well so that I no longer need you. How quick do you think God is to answer prayers like that? Our prayer life is to be about developing a relationship with him so that then our prayers are asking for the things that he wants, not the things that we just want. It's not giving a five-year-old a list and saying, what do you want for Christmas? It's giving a bride a list in a sense and saying, what do you want to know more about your husband? And she will tell you, I don't want stuff, I want him, if she's truly in love with him. So we come to prayer in a place of not need-based, though we pray for our needs. Don't hear me discount that. Yes, we pray for our needs. But we pray saying, Lord, I'm abiding in you. I want to develop this relationship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to know you deeper and better, more intimately. I want to know you. Then you can answer in whatever way you want because I got you, and you are better than stuff. So last night, I do this every Saturday night. You can pray for me if you ever think about me on a Saturday night. I usually prepared the message. It's done by noon on Thursday. It's my goal to be done with the message. So then Friday and Saturday are kind of my weekend, so I can just be at home and give attention to family and friends and all of that sort of thing. And then Saturday night, I just look over it one more time, you know, because Sunday morning hits, it's on. So I look over it one more time. And what I do every week, we have a kind of a home office study, and I lay down on the floor. And I put my Bible, my computer, sometimes headphones, listen to worship, my notepad, and I look back over my outline and I just pray. And last night I did that. I've probably done that 20 years. I just lay on the floor from college on. I mean, 20 years I've probably done that. And last night I was praying and just seeking the Lord and just asking him to show me over. And I got to this point in the message, I was just thinking about this. And my first prayer is 20 years ago, before I was going to give a message. This was my prayer. Dear Lord, I'm going to speak to a bunch of people tomorrow. Don't make me look dumb. In Jesus' name, amen. That was my prayer. Now, sometimes I still pray that, okay? I have to admit. But yesterday I was, Lord, thank you that I get to speak to people. Let me know more about you. Let me understand more about you. Let me walk in you. Let me abide in you. I'm so grateful for, think about this, 20 years. I've sat here with a Bible and a notepad and outline, and I found you faithful every time. I know you. You're Jesus. You're the Savior. You're faithful. You've gifted me. I just want to rest. Those type of relationship prayers are different than God, do something that keeps me from being uncomfortable. Abiding has an intended consequence of your prayer life being based on relationship with God. So now it's intimate, and now the answers flow. Sometimes the answers don't flow because the answers are about us, aren't they? Instead of about Him. It's not getting God on our program. That's not prayer. It's getting us on God's program. That's prayer. The second intended consequence is this. Abiding glorifies God. Abiding glorifies God. I want you to look, if you will, in verse 8, once you put in that blank in your message notes. Abiding glorifies God. Now look at verse 8. This is to my Father's glory. Glorifies God. What? To abide. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That you would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, we're all worried that we're going to abide deeply and we're not going to bear fruit greatly. But if we abide deeply, we're going to bear fruit greatly. We're going to achieve greatly. You're going to be a better mom, better dad, better single, better husband, better wife, better friend, better whatever you do for a vocation. You're going to be better at that and achieve greater. If you abide deeply, you'll achieve greatly. And we're worried, well, but wait a minute. If I don't spend a bunch of time at the office, if I don't get there early and stay there late, then will I really achieve? Well, you might have an unintended consequence. You get there early, you stay there too late, and you don't have a family. But if you abide deeply, then you're going to be able to achieve greatly. He says, if you abide in me, you'll glorify God and you'll bear much fruit. Much fruit. Because now you got the order right. You got it correct. Now glorifying God's a huge word. What does it mean? Lots of different definitions we could give, but let me just throw this one out to you. It means to stand in agreement with God. We glorify God when we stand in agreement with God. We say, what your word says, I believe, and I'm going to live my life like that. That glorifies God. What God says about himself, I believe that. That glorifies God. I stand in agreement with God. And when I glorify God, it disciples me. It makes me a disciple. It says, showing yourselves to be my disciple. Discipleship is a continuous process of agreeing more and more with God. Discipleship is a continuous process of agreeing more and more with God. So you can go to a life Bible study and you agree more and more with God. Hear a message, you agree more and more with God. Glorifying God results in bearing fruit. Now I took botany. That's the study of plants. And I want you to know, I can identify a tree, an orange tree. I can identify an orange tree spectacularly if there's oranges hanging from the branches. I can look at an apple tree at 30 yards and say, that is an apple tree, if there's apples hanging from the branches. All of us could say, what kind of tree is that? That's a pecan tree. How do you know that? Because there's pecans hanging from the branches or around the base of the tree that they've fallen off. We are great at identifying the tree correctly if we see the fruit connected to it. Oh, Christian, you will be known as a disciple if you bear much fruit. They should be able to look at a believer in Christ and see Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And they should look and say, Christian, but here's what's really confusing. Somebody that says, Christian, and there's no fruit. It confuses the Christian. They begin to wonder if they're still saved. Even though they know in their head they can't lose their salvation. It begins to confuse the other people around them because it says Christian, but there's no fruit. And he says, you will bear much fruit, and then they will know that you are my disciples. You don't have to announce you're a Christian. It's good too at times, sure. But you can say with the fruit of your life, this is the fruit, and people can identify you at 30 yards. I see in him or her the fruit of what a Christian should be. Now, I want to show you or give you some words of encouragement as a church about the fruit that we have borne as a church in the last calendar year. So in the last 11 months, let's say, the fruit that we've borne as a church. Now, none of this is about the preaching ministry of this church. I'm not going to get to a line and go, and 42 wonderful sermons were preached on Sunday morning. That's not where we're going. We're just going to see these different things. And this is for us as a church to celebrate the fruit of what God is doing in our church. This is so much. I asked our ministries to give me some things. They gave me so much. I'm going to give you a little bit today. Then I'm going to give you in coming weeks more. Then I'm going to give you in another week a more. So it's going to be a three-part deal that we're going to hear this. I wanted to do it all this week because it was right before Thanksgiving and we could give thanks to God on all that he's done this year. But there's so much, we'd be here until Thanksgiving if I kept talking about it, okay? So I'm just going to give you these things and you're going to want to applaud at every one of them. They're all awesome. But I'm going to ask that you just hold on to the end, okay? So just hold on. Then I'll point, we'll applaud for Jesus. Here we go. The Faith Center, which is at Long Point in Wirtz, just about 3 miles from here. That's where we do a lot of ministry and helping people with clothes and all sorts of things like that. Benevolence, meaning assisting people that can't pay bills. We've assisted this year over 1,200 families. I'll just give you round numbers. Over 1,200 families, we have helped them pay their rent, their mortgage, their gas bill, and their water bill, among other things, totaling $230,000. You want to applaud, don't you? But don't. Don't. Benevolence and also a probation office. People come in and meet with the police officers. We have a probation office we gave to them. They saw over 160 people ask Jesus to be their Savior. English as a second language, 27 people asked Jesus to be their Savior. The food pantry assisted over 14,000 individuals. The clothes closet helped clothe over just about 11,800 individuals. The food pantry and clothes closet saw over 700 people ask Jesus to be their Savior. So we're almost at 1,000 salvations already. Missions, we've given from the Capital Campaign this year almost $700,000 away outside of our church to giving away. We've sent locally, domestically, internationally from our church, we've sent 2,139 people onto the mission field. We've taken 25 international trips from our church. We've hosted 21 trips. Do you know people come on a mission trip to Houston? And we need it. We host them 21 trips. We've had almost 1,000 people join our church this past year and about 200 of them baptized. We've given a denominational support to what God's doing through our denomination, $1.1 million. We've launched a downtown campus that now, even this today, right now at this moment, they're watching on video to be able to see downtown campus is happening, going great. The Juliana Poor Counseling Center, we have a counseling center. From January just to October, they've seen 8,207 clients. FBA, First Baptist Academy, has built a sports complex, and phase one of that is finished, and phase two is underway. Facilities, we've seen a new preschool and children's suite right now. Our kids are being ministered to right now in that building. Fourth and fifth floors are going to come online in December. We're hoping in December to be able to have more life Bible studies up there and have better stuff up there going on. Pastoral care, we developed a Hope House. Remember the Hope House? We've had people donating to the Hope House. It's people when they have a relative having cancer treatment, they can stay there in our Hope House. We can minister to them. We've had people donating all sorts of stuff. You can go to Target. We're registered at Target. And you can find out what we're registered for and help them donate in that way. It's a great thing, like a wedding registry. Clear Lake Honda donated a Honda. They wanted to have a Hope Honda so that people would be able to drive around if they flew in. So they gave a whole car. Clear Lake Honda did. And that was amazing to be able to see that. Just on and on it goes. We're hoping that opens in January. Homebound, people that can't get to church. We spent over 1,000 hours ministering to people in their homes because they can't get here. So we go to them. Hospital visitation. We visited, estimated, including family and people that are sick. Over 1,100 people have been visited in the last calendar year. Hospitals all over our city. It's a very difficult city to visit in the hospital. You think medical center, but people are everywhere, right? So they've gone on more than 300 visits out there to make sure that we're taking care of our folks. This is just a part of it. This is the fruit that we as a congregation have bore. And we think sometimes we come to church and this is all we do in church. It's a big worship service. It's not at all we do at church. So let's just give a praise to the Lord. Let's just give it to him. It's amazing. It's amazing. It is literally amazing. But if we're a church that abides deeply, we'll achieve greatly, bearing fruit. It says, when you bear fruit, you'll know that you are my, they'll know that you are my disciples. Look at the last thing in verse 9 through 11, and we're going to look at this last intended consequence that happens from abiding. Verse 9, and I'll tell you a little bit about it as we go. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Is that amazing? God loved Jesus, and Jesus loved us in the same way. Now abide in my love. Rest in it. Trust in it. If you obey my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and abide in his love. Not meaning you can lose your salvation, meaning if you obey Jesus, you're going to understand how deeply he loves you. Verse 11, I have told you this. Why? So that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Abiding realizes love and joy. Abiding realizes love and joy. What's an intended consequence of abiding? It's love and it's joy. We understand the love of the Father, and we understand the joy that he gives. Driving out 290 Northwest, heading north, and right before the Beltway, there's this billboard. It's of a gentleman's club, which is an ironic statement. And it said on it, joy was the logo. To which I said, no. That doesn't bring joy. Thrill at times, sure. Sin can bring thrill, but it cannot bring joy. God wants to give joy, deep, deep within us joy. And that is one of the intended consequences of abiding. Now, I want you to see a video of a little girl giving us an expression of joy, just to give us an example. God's joy is even deeper, but just an example of what joy can look like.
Do you remember? Show me. What does it say? What else is in there? Snacks? Snacks. That's it. Where do you think we should take all this stuff? Where do you want to go with it? You could go anywhere. Where would you want to go? Why don't we go?
Okay, let's go.
Now. Today.
Okay.
I'm being serious.
We going?
We're leaving today to go to Disneyland.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
Are we done?
Yes, we're going.
If our earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more does our heavenly father know how to give good gifts? And the intended consequence of abiding in Jesus is that you'd get to know him in prayer. You'd glorify him. I'd glorify him in fruit. Abiding deeply to achieve greatly. And then we'd obey, yes, and we'd experience his love and we'd experience his joy so that we would say, Christ be with me, Christ in front, Christ in back, Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, Christ at my right hand, Christ at my left hand, Christ in the fort, Christ in the chariot seat, Christ in the helm, Christ at the dinner table, Christ at the ball field, Christ at school, Christ at the office, Christ in my marriage, Christ in my singlehood, Christ in my friendships, Christ in my church, Christ in Disneyland. And the joy of abiding in Jesus. Will you live Will I live intentionally or unintentionally? Will we continually move the couch and break the lamp and accomplish nothing because we didn't abide? Or will we abide and experience the intended consequences of resting and letting Jesus move through us? The choice is ours. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.